DW.
Let's maybe start off by talking about what poverty is. When is a person or a family considered poor?
Well, there are different ways to define poverty. According to the traditional approach, poverty is defined as a lack of an amount of income necessary for a person or a family to satisfy its basic needs. And the World Bank has identified a poverty line, an international poverty line for extreme poverty, and all the individuals with an income just below the equivalent of more or less $2 per day are considered as extremely poor. And based on this poverty line, we can assess that in the world there are about 700 million people in extreme poverty, which correspond to slightly less than 10% of the world population. And an interesting fact is that half of them live in sub-Saharan Africa, despite the fact that this is not the most populated region of the world. More and more poverty is viewed also as a multidimensional phenomenon. A person without a job, with poor education, or without adequate health is considered as poor.
In a nutshell, how are poverty and hunger connected?
Hunger can be viewed as an extreme form of poverty, and income is crucial to buy food. And also, if we look at the data, we notice that countries with the highest incidence of hunger are also those with the highest incidence of poverty. Therefore, these two problems or the two phenomena are interconnected, and from my point of view, they should be tackled together.
The UN's Sustainable Development Goals target poverty and hunger, and the first and second goal, respectively, want to end poverty in all its forms everywhere and reach zero hunger. How likely is it that these first two goals will be reached by 2030?
These two Sustainable Development Goals in particular are quite ambitious in the way they are formulated, and therefore it's not going to be easy to realize them. It's probably difficult to say whether they will be achieved or not. At this stage, we have some preliminary projection that shows that given the current level and trends in inequality, the current patterns of economic growth, which, let me say, are already very high, especially in Africa, are not going to be sufficient to achieve SDG 1. That means that we need to invest even more in redistributive policies. And with regard to SDG 2, well, the last year data show that actually hunger has increased between 2016 and 2017, which of course threatens the achievement of SDG 2.
Why is there still so much poverty and hunger despite decades of efforts to reduce it?
Well, so as I said before, poverty has declined significantly, but still we cannot accept that so many poor people exist in the world. I do believe that the causes might change from context to context, so it's difficult to identify some common problems.
What would you say is the worst contributing factor to hunger? Is it conflict, climate change, disasters like earthquakes, or all of the above?
Well, of course, all these factors contribute to poverty, but if I have to highlight one, I would say is among these three is war and conflict, because not by chance countries like Somalia, Congo, Chad or Liberia are among the poorest in the world, and because conflict are deleterious for from many point of view, conflict kill people, reduce labor force, break social system, and overall undermine economic as well as political stability.
So how can poverty and ultimately hunger be reduced in a war-torn country like Somalia, for example?
Well, that's quite a difficult question. I think in the very short term, we need to adopt some emergency policies such as cash transfer or food transfer, which one of the two might depend from on a number of local conditions factor. But at the same time, we should try to put some seeds for more long run the development intervention. However, if there is no peace in the country, if we don't act in the direction of peace for these countries, well, we cannot really talk about long-term economic and social policy. So the first thing is to really look at what are the causes of the conflict, if they are national-level causes, ethnic conflicts, and so on and so forth, work in that direction to improve social cohesion, which means to improve the relationship between citizens within a country, as well as the relationship between the citizen and the state.
Do you have a best practice example at hand of a country that was able to turn the tables?
Well, I think there are a few interesting examples. Let me highlight two kind of examples. One goes back to 1960s and is the experience of East Asian countries such as South Korea, Taiwan and Singapore. Their experience point to the importance of investing in social sector, education, health, as well as adopting redistributive policies. I have in mind mostly land redistribution, as well as this experience also points to the key role of the state in guiding the industrial transformation. More recently, another region, Latin America, has managed to reduce in particular poverty and inequality, which unfortunately is still very, very high in the region. And some recent research shows that the most important contributing factor were employment policies, labor regulation, as well as the introduction of large systemic social protection systems, in particular the quite innovative provision of cash transfer to the poor, conditional to sending children to the school, or conditional for adults to, or in particular pregnant women, to attend prenatal care or postnatal care. Countries, currently poor countries like, for example, Malawi or Zambia, can draw interesting lessons from the experience of these two regions in the past.
Now, maybe let's go back to hunger. There are different forms of hunger. There's the kind of hunger where it simply means people don't have enough calories to eat. But what about malnutrition or hidden hunger? Can you explain the dangers there and how many people are affected by that?
Well, we don't have precise data, but definitely a number much higher than the number of hungry people. So if we, it is estimated there are in the world about 700 to 800 million people suffering from hunger. The number is definitely above 1 billion when it comes to food insecurity. So as you rightly pointed out, for a person to have a good nutritional status, having enough calorie is not enough. And we need to look at whether people have access to a quality diet, to a diversified diet, and also access to drinkable water, good sanitation. They have nutrition knowledge as well as the right hygienic practices. All this is extremely important. Therefore, we have some other data on the so-called hidden hunger. And because diseases like, for example, anemia and other diseases depend pretty much on lack of consumption of macronutrients, vitamin A, vitamin C, iodium, iron are the main causes of so-called hidden hunger. Therefore, a child, for example, that has enough food might still be malnourished if he doesn't have access to these key macronutrients.
DW